All right, if you have your Bible, iPad, whatever it is, a device, even just your hand, let's make our confession over the Holy Scriptures. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can have what it says I can have, and I can do what it says I can do, even going to Texas when I don't want to. And now I don't remember the rest of it. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I've been going through the book of Acts, and I've just loved it. It was really exciting this morning as I was sharing this message, and I instantly got a comment back about the message right away. And from somebody that I never would have dreamed would have been listening. And so Mary said, so-and-so made a comment. Well, wow, that's pretty cool. So there, I think there's some reasons for it. But anyway, we're gonna read through about 10 verses here in the book of Acts. And we're going to read out of Passion Translation because I love the verbiage in this. So this is Acts chapter 19, verses 11 through 20. But before I get to that, do take time to glance at the first part of this, because there's people that don't think God is moving. There's people that don't think we can know God. That's unbelief. But God's made himself known to us. He made himself known to us through creation. He made himself known to us through his son Jesus. And he made himself known to us through the Holy Spirit. And so there's some things in there if you'd like to kind of glance through that. But I really just want to get into the verses here. So this is verse 11 of chapter 19 of Acts. God kept releasing a flow. This is a word for today. It was a word back then, but it's still a kairos, what we call a kairos moment word for today. God kept releasing a flow of extraordinary miracles through the hands of Paul. Now, I do believe that we can adapt this to ourselves. Let's go back to 11, please, Larry. God continues to release. Let's put this in the now. God continues to release a flow of extraordinary miracles through his church, you and me. Somebody ought to be shouting at that. Let's do some extraordinary things. Let's see. Because you know what? The world will stand up and take note of an extraordinary miracle. Okay, because the devil likes to duplicate it, but God's always greater. Amen? All right, verse 12. Because of this, some people took Paul's handkerchiefs and articles of clothing, even pieces of cloth that touched his skin, laying them on the bodies of sick, diseases and demons left them, and they were healed. That is revival. Verse 13. Hallelujah. Now, there were seven itinerant Jews, exorcists. I love the word itinerant there. Sons of Sceva, the high priest, who took it upon themselves to use the name and authority of Jesus over those who were demonized. Verse 14. They would say, "We cast you out in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches." One day, they had said those words. The demon in the man said back, "I know Jesus and I recognize Paul, but who the heck are you?" Who are you? Verse 15. 16, excuse me. Then the demonized man jumped on it. Can you imagine this? Hollywood can't even come up with this. Come on. The demonized man jumped on them, threw them to the ground, and beat them mercilessly. He overpowered the seven exorcists until they all ran out of the house naked and badly bruised. Now, this is hilarious. I'm just reading this in this passion. I'm just cracking up. Verse 17. And all of the people in Ephesus were awestruck, both Jews and non-Jews, well, yeah, and they heard about what had happened. And great fear, everyone say great fear. Great fear fell over the entire city, and the authority of the name of Jesus was exalted. Hallelujah. And verse 18, many believers publicly confessed their sins and disclosed their secrets. Large numbers of those who had been practicing magic took all their books and their scrolls and spells, incantations, publicly burned them. And when the value of all the books and the scrolls were calculated, it came to several million dollars. Now that smoked me. Verse 20. The power of God. Everyone say the power of God continues the word to spread. Continues to help the word spread, and the people were greatly impacted. May God add a blessing to this. May you get something that you haven't heard yet before. You know, ordinary miracles, physical healing, exorcisms, overpowering nature. But extraordinary miracles, when you take a cloth and you hand it to you take a prayer cloth and you hand it to Dan, and he takes it up to Mayo Clinic so Seth can come home healed. When you take a prayer cloth and you give it to the leader of a Bible camp who has a young person there who instantly screams at night with night terrors, and we handed her a prayer cloth, and that night the girl slept. Live testimonies of what this does. Now, you want to remember, church, when I'm preaching on Facebook and when I'm preaching at Lake Church, a lot of people haven't come anywhere near hearing some of these things. So we stretched some people today. It was really good. Yeah. All right. So, extraordinary miracles. The realm of the demonic. These people knew in verse 14, they knew that Jesus and his name was a greater power. Look at this. They said, we cast you out in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. Jesus is always a greater power than what the devil or what the world has. Amen? Always. But they will recognize that if we just walk in that. Verse 15. We know that demons can speak through people. Look at verse 15. The demon in the man said, not the man, but the demon in the man said, I know Jesus, I know Paul, but who are you? I don't want to be number three there. I'd like to be one or two. Well, two at least. All right? Yeah. And you know, how do demons know Jesus? Well, they used to be angels in heaven, right? A third of the angels in heaven, of course they know Jesus. And when Jesus died, where'd he go? He descended into hell, preached the gospel to the captives, right? So every demon knows who Jesus is. It's not like, who are you? No, every one of them knows. And they all know that Jesus is in us. And they know that the Jesus in us is greater than them. They have to bow. They will always bow. They will never not bow to the name of Jesus. Amen? So we need not to be afraid of that. And then Paul recognized these demons by his authority, which is kind of interesting because Paul never died, but they recognized Paul. How did they recognize Paul? Because he understood authority. He understood his authority as a believer, right? Okay, so that's really important there. Now, as we look at this in terms of the demonic, I got to share a testimony about our vacation back in July. Usually when we go into our unit that we stay in regularly, we pray and, you know, anoint with oil and all that stuff, and I just don't think we did that this time. Well, anyway, I think it was the first night or second. I don't remember which night it was. I woke up wrestling a demon. I literally was wrestling a demon, and he was choking me. And I couldn't get the words out. Mary, get this demon off of me. I could hardly get it out, right? Yeah. And so she cast that sucker off of me, and boom, gone, and I went to sleep. So I was walking around the unit the next morning, and I thought, what's going on here? And I walked around and went over by the TV, and there on top of the little DVD rack was Harry Potter. Boom! Now listen, church, I can preach like this to you guys, but the earlier crowd, I had to be real careful and say, you cannot let that in your house, and if it is, you need to get rid of it. And then Mary said this was awesome. I don't know where you got this, Mary, but Harry Potter is man's instruction book for witchcraft. Sure it is. But I just like that. It's an instruction book by video how to operate in the occult. Really? Don't let your grandkids, your friends, your enemies, anybody keep a part of that. And then, this is really good too. Harry Potter talks about the type of wood that he uses in his magic wand. You know what kind of wood it is? Holly wood. I'm going to leave that right there. If you didn't get it, holly wood. Of course. Of course. Plain sight. Thank you for that. So I just really felt that was important to kind of go over some of these things. The really cool thing is the testimonies that have come out of that section of Scripture. First of all, there was a turning away as they burned everything. Okay? Revival is a turning away from and going from bad and going to good. Amen? That's what we're going to see. We're going to see more of this happen. We're going to see this war escalate. Come on. The devil's not giving up, and certainly God is not giving up, but we've got the victory. Amen? But this war, as this escalates, we need to be more aware of these things that are going on. But I love that. In verse 20, Larry, if you want to throw up verse 20, please. The power of God caused the word to spread. Amen? Caused the word to spread. You know, a couple of years ago, I got in-laws that farmed south of town, and they had a harvest fire. Man, if you've ever seen what a cornfield looks like after fire goes through, I mean, it starts and it takes off in the wind. It's an amazing thing. And so we continue to pray that God would release a greater level of holy fire in our country and in the planet. Amen? And I love it. Next week we're going to do a song that talks about the Lord coming back, but it's from the Passion Conference. And I love this because the Passion Conference, Lou Giglio, they set it up for 3 days in January, and it sold out so fast they decided to do another 3 days a week later and bring Elevation Worship in. And it's packed. You know where they hold Passion? It's in the Mercedes-Benz stadium where the Atlanta Falcons play in Atlanta, obviously. Yeah. Yeah, it's packed out. It's packed. Wall-to-wall kids, young adults. It's just amazing. So let revival continue, whatever it looks like. Amen? And let us not be afraid to take the stand for the kingdom of God. And so praise the Lord. Let's stand. Father, we thank you so much for working in the midst of our own congregation. Thank you for working in the midst of the church on the planet. And Father, we pray for each and every family unit here that we would be sharper, a little more aware of things, and listen to the truth, even if it shakes us. Even if we seemingly maybe don't even really agree, I don't know. But Lord, I want to agree with you. I want to agree with your word, and I want to agree with revelation about your word. And so, Father, help us in the times coming up, Lord, that we would be more aware spiritually of what's going on. And I think I would miss the mark here if we didn't just take one half minute. Father, we pray for these elections that are coming up, God, that you would, God, I just, with all my heart, I plead with you. We plead with you, God, to bring the righteous into rule. When the righteous are in rule, the people rejoice. So, Father, bring righteous people in. Just make unbelievable things happen. Believable things happen. Lord, we pray and we ask the blood of Jesus to be over our country and over the things that are going on, Father. And that, Father, that you would right the wrongs. Right the wrongs, please, God. And bring about change and help us to pray for that, to intercede for that, to vote for that, Lord. And we just thank you for an amazing miracle in so many realms, Father. And for that, we give you praise. We give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, and everybody shouted amen. Amen. Okay, praise the Lord. We'll go and serve the Lord this week.